Welcome to Learning English, a daily 30-minute program from the Voice of America. I'm Jonathan Evans.
And I'm Ashley Thompson. This program is aimed at English learners, so we speak a little slower, and we use words and phrases, especially written, for people learning English.
We also explain words and language rules, all while bringing you stories and information from around the world. Today on the program, you will hear stories from Anne Ball, Katie Weaver, and John Russell. Dan Friedel will tell us what's trending today, and Anna Mateo will bring us this week's health report. But first, Ashley will tell us about recent news from Iran.
Iranians are remembering former President Akbar Hashemi Rafsanjani. He died on Sunday after suffering a heart attack. He was 82 years old. State television suspended programming to announce the death. It said Rafsanjani spent his life working in support of Islam and revolution. Rafsanjani served as Iran's president from 1989 to 1997. He also advised Ayatollah Ruhollah Khomeini, the leader of the 1979 Islamic Revolution. During Rafsanjani's presidency, Iran worked to rebuild its economy. It was in ruins following an 8-year war with Iraq. Rafsanjani's presidency led to a series of cautious reforms. The changes increased some freedoms, especially in Iran's media. Over time, however, Rafsanjani's political influence fell sharply. After his presidency, Rafsanjani lost a bid for a seat in parliament. In 2005, he sought a second term as president, but he lost to Mahmoud Ahmadinejad, a conservative. And in 2013, he attempted, but was denied, another term as president. At that time, Iran's powerful Guardian Council barred him from the ballot. Rafsanjani's influence suffered in part because conservatives criticized his reform efforts, especially his outreach to the West. A speech Rafsanjani made in 2009 further alienated him from conservatives and Iran's military. In the speech, Rafsanjani called for greater personal freedoms. At the time, the government was taking steps to punish Iranians protesting the results of presidential elections. In 2013, Rafsanjani's political protege, Hassan Rouhani, won the presidency. Rouhani asked Rafsanjani to oversee planning for direct nuclear talks with the United States. On Monday, the president praised Rafsanjani. He said the former leader had more wishes for the country, and that up until his death, he showed people the right path. We are all hopeful to continue his path.
North Korea says it could test launch an intercontinental ballistic missile at any time and from anywhere it wants to. The North Korean state news agency made the announcement on Sunday. American Secretary of Defense Ash Carter reacted by stating that an ICBM launch would be a serious threat to the United States. He said the U.S. military would shoot down the missile if it crossed into the territory of the U.S. or its allies. He said the U.S. military has strengthened its missile defenses and deployed them in South Korea, Japan, and Guam. North Korea did not say for sure that it will carry out an ICBM test in the near future, but the statements could suggest the two sides are getting ready for a new relationship when Donald Trump becomes U.S. president. He will take office on January 20th. In a New Year's message, North Korean leader Kim Jong-un said that his country had reached the final stages of ICBM development. A North Korean ministry spokesman said on Sunday that his government has the right to test missiles whenever it sees fit. The ICBM will be launched anytime and anywhere, determined by the Supreme Headquarters of the DPRK, the spokesman told the KCNA news agency. DPRK is short for the Democratic People's Republic of Korea. On Monday, South Korean officials said they believe the North's threat of a missile test is meant to influence relations with the new U.S. administration. Jung Joo-hee is a spokesman with South Korea's Unification Ministry. He suggested that North Korea made the threat in hopes of forcing the Trump administration to deal with the North on its own terms. He said the goal was to shift responsibility when North Korea fires in the future. The South Korean Defense Ministry called North Korea's talk of an ICBM test regrettable. It said there would be consequences or results like international sanctions. Sanctions or other measures have yet to stop North Korea's nuclear activities and missile development program. The North has carried out 2 nuclear tests and 24 missile launches in the past year. Commenting on the North's nuclear program last week, U.S. Deputy Secretary of State Antony Blinken said, "With every passing day, the threat does get more acute." North Korea is believed to have the ability to hit South Korea or Japan with a nuclear weapon. But there are still questions about whether the North's missiles can reach the U.S. mainland. North Korea says it has successfully made a nuclear device small enough to sit on the head of a long-range missile, but it has not demonstrated that ability. Also, it has yet to test the missile's re-entry ability. An ICBM test would be the next step in the development process. I'm Ann Ball.
Many people traveled to Las Vegas, Nevada last week for the 50th Consumer Electronics Show, or CES. The show is said to have the largest collection of new electronic devices in the world. The 2017 show had many examples of smart home devices. Smart home technology is designed to make life easier for people by letting computers control many things inside our homes. One such device actually begins working outside the home when someone arrives and rings the doorbell. Jeremy Warren is with smart home service provider Vivint.
When someone comes up to your front door and rings the doorbell, the light can turn on immediately. I get a notification when I'm halfway around the world that someone came, and I can start talking to the person who's at my front door, and I can say, oh, here, let me let you in, and I can unlock the door for them just very easily.
Another use of smart home technology is being able to watch what is taking place in your home, whether you are just around the corner or halfway around the world. Devices can even let homeowners look in on dogs, cats, or other pets when they are away. One electronics maker launched a device that lets people see and interact with their animals when they are away. The device, from PetCube, lets you remotely watch and talk to your pet through a personal device, according to a company official. It can even give the pet a treat if you approve and order it. For heating or cooling, there is a smart thermostat. This device can also send you a message if a big storm causes leaks or flooding. We're trying to catch it with just a few drips before it becomes a real big problem, said Mike Sale of iDevices. Another product from iDevices can turn your smartphone into a remote control for an electric fireplace. While most of the devices can be controlled from anywhere, they also work in the same way when you are at home. Some devices, like Amazon's Echo and Google Home, even let you use voice commands to talk to them. A concern for many homeowners is the possibility that someone else might find a way to attack these smart home devices. An official from Vivint said his company is sure that only owners of the home can gain use of information on the devices. Warren Katz from iDevices said his company employs engineers from the defense industry to help prevent hacking.
So they've spent time working on the Patriot missile and others, and we spend an awful lot of time ensuring that our products are both safe and safe from attack.
Many of these devices at the Consumer Electronics Show were available before. But now they communicate better and can learn repeat behavior and habits. All of them can be bought separately, many for less than $100. I'm John Russell.
The movie La La Land was the big winner at the 74th annual Golden Globe Awards in Hollywood, California. The Hollywood Foreign Press Association honored the musical with 7 awards, including Best Actor and Best Actress. La La Land is about an actor and a jazz musician who fall in love while seeking success in Hollywood. Emma Stone and Ryan Gosling star in the film, and each won a Golden Globe for their work. La La Land also won awards for directing, writing, and music. The award for Best Dramatic Film went to Moonlight. It tells the story of a boy growing up, abused by his mother, in a poor neighborhood where crime and drugs are common. The story is told in three parts: boyhood, teenage years, and adulthood. In other dramatic film categories, French actress Isabelle Huppert was honored for her performance in the movie Elle. And American Casey Affleck won Best Actor for his work in the movie Manchester by the Sea. But the awards themselves might not have been the most memorable part of the night. Instead, much public attention has gone to actress Meryl Streep's speech at the ceremony. Streep received a Lifetime Achievement Award. During her acceptance speech, she criticized President-elect Donald Trump. Streep noted his treatment of a disabled reporter during a campaign appearance. The famed actress said she could not believe it when, in her words, the person asking to sit in the most respected seat in our country imitated a disabled reporter. "I still can't get it out of my head, because it wasn't in a movie, it was real life," she said. She called the president-elect a bully and said, "When the powerful use their position to bully others, we all lose." Trump answered the criticism early Monday on Twitter. The president-elect wrote that Streep was, in his words, one of the most overrated actresses in Hollywood. He also criticized her for supporting his opponent, saying Hillary Clinton lost big. Trump denied, as he has in the past, that he was making fun of the reporter. "For the 100th time, I never mocked a disabled reporter," he tweeted. There is video of the interaction between Trump and the reporter. It has been broadcast many times. I'm Katie Weaver.
This is What's Trending Today. What do the words dumpster fire, Aleppo, Drumpf, post-truth, and locker room banter have in common? All five words have appeared in news stories over the past year because of incidents related to the American election campaign. Language experts nominated the five as best representing what Americans were talking about in 2016. Every year since 1990, the American Dialect Society has voted on its words of the year in several groupings. The society's top word last year was the pronoun they, when used as a neutral singular pronoun. This year, it is not surprising that most of the words under consideration were related to the election campaign in the United States. Among the nominees for Political Word of the Year were deplorables, as in basket of deplorables, nasty woman, Pantsuit Nation, Post-Truth, Woke, and Unprecedented. The winner was Post-Truth. Oxford Dictionaries called it the most frequently used term internationally in 2016. U.S. President-elect Donald Trump mistakenly spelled the word unprecedented as unprecedented in a tweet. The spelling was later corrected, but not before it resulted in many retweets that played on possible meanings of the word. The term dumpster fire was the winner of the overall word of the year. Dumpster fire means an exceedingly disastrous situation. The expression dumpster fire was used in the political campaign, but can also describe unrelated events like singer Mariah Carey's audio problems on New Year's Eve. Another group's members voted on the most important names of 2016. The American Name Society chose from choices that included Drumpf, which won as Personal Name of the Year. John Oliver of the television show Last Week Tonight urged its viewers to use the German form of Trump's last name. The American Name Society said that the continued use of Drumpf shows the power of naming and name-calling. Another American politician found that he should have known the name of a city in Syria. Over 4 years, the Syrian civil war spread into the city of Aleppo. But Libertarian Party presidential candidate Gary Johnson did not remember its name when asked for his opinion on how to help those living in the city. Johnson answered, "What is Aleppo?" The American Name Association chose Aleppo as Place Name of the Year and Overall Name of the Year. Finally, Brexit was chosen as the Trade Name of the Year. The word Brexit is a combination of Britain and the word exit, meaning to leave. It describes the vote by British citizens to leave the European Union. And that's what's trending today. I'm Dan Friedel.
From VOA Learning English, this is the Health and Lifestyle Report. Imagine there is a glass of water on a table in front of you. It has water in it, but it is not full. How do you describe the glass? Do you say it is half full or half empty? If you say half full, you might be an optimist. If you say half empty, you might be the opposite, a pessimist. Optimism and pessimism represent your general attitude toward certain situations or to life in general. And your attitude about life may be more important to living than you think. A new study suggests that your level of optimism may affect your health. People who are optimistic may live longer than those who are pessimistic. Researchers at Harvard University's School of Public Health in Boston did the study. They compared women with a general expectation that good things will happen to women who were less optimistic. They found that the optimists had a much lower risk of getting several deadly diseases, including cancer, heart disease, stroke, respiratory disease, and certain types of infection. The researchers published their findings in the American Journal of Epidemiology. Epidemiology is the study of how diseases spread and how they can be controlled. Eric Kim is one of the study leaders. He says there is increasing evidence that strengthening psychological resilience may help prevent disease. Resilience is the ability to recover from difficulty or change. Kim says that these new findings suggest that people should make efforts to increase their resilience and optimism. He says optimism is connected with healthier behaviors and healthier ways of dealing with difficulty. Optimists tend to take better care of themselves by exercising, eating healthy foods, and getting enough sleep. However, the researchers say that healthy behaviors of optimistic people only partly explain the connection with reduced risk of disease. For the study, researchers looked at information gathered on 70,000 women in the Nurses' Health Study. This massive study began in 1975. It collects health information on those involved in the study every 2 years. The Harvard researchers looked at the level of optimism of the women, as well as other factors, such as race, diet, physical activity level, and overall health. They found the most optimistic women had nearly a 30% lower risk of dying from disease. When compared to the least optimistic women in the study, the optimistic women had an almost 40% lower risk of dying from heart disease, stroke, and respiratory disease, a 50% lower risk of dying from infection, and a 16% lower risk of dying from cancer. The researchers note that other studies have linked optimism with reduced risk of death from cardiovascular disease. This, however, is the first study to link optimism with reduced mortality from other diseases. Caitlin Hagen, another study leader, says earlier studies show that a person can use simple, low-cost methods to increase optimism. For example, she says people can think about and write down the best possible outcomes for areas of their lives, like their careers or relationships. Leslie Ralph is a clinical psychologist and counselor at the University of Arizona in Tucson. She also blogs about stress management. Ralph has several ideas about how to increase optimism. She says each night, plan to do 2 or 3 simple, enjoyable activities the next day. These activities might include watching the sunrise, visiting a friend, dancing to a favorite song, or reading a story with your child. She also suggests that if your day starts badly, simply close your eyes for a moment and take a deep breath. When you open your eyes, imagine your day has started over. It's like having your own restart button. And the counselor adds, offering praise or support to someone can also improve your own outlook. A smile and thank you from another person may help you feel more optimistic. I'm Ana Mateo.
And that's our program for today. Listen again tomorrow to learn English through stories from around the world. I'm Jonathan Evans.
And I'm Ashley Thompson.